Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots, and welcome to Patriot Radio. This is Matt Shea, broadcasting live from deep, deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by the good Lord above. I love it. It's so awesome being free. Ah, I love it. In the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it's about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ. And the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. We're kingdom-minded. Jeremiah 17, 7-8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be a like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Couple of comments. Got some extraordinary things happening today I want to talk about. I don't normally quote the AP News either, but I'm going to a little bit later. But first, again, we need to pray for our country. Reports I'm getting from different places just absolutely being ignored intentionally, it looks like, by the mainstream media. And I think what we're seeing, again, is this push over the summer to try to bring this country down. So let's lift our country up to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve you and for you to serve through us in this time, Father. We pray right now that the hearts of our countrymen and countrywomen would be changed and drawn toward you. And Lord, where there needs to be repentance, there would be repentance. And where there needs to be revival, there is revival. And where there needs to be your spirit, that your spirit would be there in abundance and is there in abundance. And despite all of these chaotic forces that are around, Lord, I thank you for raising up a silent majority that looks to you for hope. That looks to you for safety. And that looks to you for freedom and righteousness and liberty. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening from a spiritual perspective. Then I'm going to get into the news. First of all, there is a misnomer about what the kingdom of God is. Luke 9, he talks about the fact that he gave power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Now, here's an interesting part about that. In the parallel verses, well, first of all, let's define power and authority. Authority in the original Greek exousia is the right to act. So God was giving them the right to act. But he also gave them the power. And in the Greek, it's dunamis, which means the ability or the efficacy or the energy to act, right? So it's not, again, this isn't about us. It's about him working through us, him serving through us. And in a couple of the parallel passages, it actually talks about what this means to preach the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 10, 7 through 8, it says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what they're supposed to be preaching. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark 6, 12, they were supposed to also preach that men should repent. So, and also that they were supposed to anoint people who were sick. So, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance and anointing. Now, the word kingdom is basilia, which means sovereignty, royal rule, or royal power, and its rule in the world and the hearts of men. It's a kingdom in the concrete sense. That's what the Greek word means. So it's this idea that he is going to rule in this world and in the hearts of men. But here's the key. He must rule in our hearts before his kingdom is made manifest in the world. Another key is that his power, his authority is for his purpose, not our prosperity. And so there are a lot of misnomers out there. Jesus should not rule in this world. What are you talking about? He paid the price, got the title deed for the earth. Yeah, he rules in this world. Otherwise, he didn't conquer Satan, did he? If he doesn't rule in the world, does he? And then the fact is there are two clashing kingdoms. And one of the interesting parts about that too, with these two clashing kingdoms, is some people will quite literally say, well, that the clash is the reason we shouldn't fight. We shouldn't do anything because it's judgment, and we shouldn't. That's not what Scripture says. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have power and authority over all demons and to heal all diseases. And by the way, in the Greek, that word all means all. So this attempt to say that the kingdom of heaven is not at hand goes and flies in the face of Luke 9. The idea to say that God doesn't really care, he's just aloof, and it is what it is. He chose it. It is what it is. We don't have to do anything. Is not what he said either. It flies in the face of Luke 9. And so there's a problem today that is leading to the apathy in the Christian church. It's leading to the problems in the Christian church because man's wisdom is trying to be used to supplant God's wisdom. Well, Jesus can't possibly be ruling in this world. If the Holy Spirit's inside us, we're temples of the Holy Spirit, the body of the believer, and he says we abide in him and he abides in us, well, practically then, what does that mean? If it doesn't mean that the kingdom of God is at hand here on earth. This is why you see the counterfeits today. Because counterfeits only exist if there's a real dollar bill, right? So the counterfeits out there, they're trying to establish their own kingdom, the satanic kingdom on this earth. And we're seeing it start to happen. They literally have to claim ground to try to establish this. And its hallmarks are killing and destruction and theft and stealing. And who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Yeah, okay, so the discernment point is pretty obvious, right? Because God's kingdom brings life, abundance, and oh, by the way, it also brings creativity or building or creation. It's the exact opposite. So where you see the burning and rioting and chaos, it's a pretty clear discernment point, and yet Christians are ignoring that this is actually happening. I watched online as somebody tried to say it's simply not true, even though there's video upon video upon video and picture upon picture upon picture and eyewitness statement upon eyewitness statement upon eyewitness statement, and some of it's even in court documents that have been submitted and sworn to under oath. They're ignoring that this is happening, which brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. We're getting reports out of Olympia that downtown Olympia is effectively in ruins. with boarded up windows, trash everywhere, graffiti. How come that's not being reported? That's the capital of our state, folks. And this is coming, by the way, from Christians who are there on the ground. Why is this being ignored? Interestingly enough, you can scroll down live feeds from this so-called peaceful protest on Capitol Hill in Seattle. People are getting choked out, dragged, beaten up, threatened, accosted in other general ways. Huh. And the governor's not doing anything? Mayor of Seattle's not doing anything? And oh, by the way, they're actually countenancing this. And here's the key. Never one time did patriots ever behave that way. In these things that they use, like Bunny Ranch, Oregon, Priest River, Idaho, never one time did they act that way. They never dragged people along the ground. In fact, it was the exact opposite. At Bundy Ranch, it was government officials that tased people and threw them to the ground, and that's what prompted a whole bunch of people to show up down there. And oh, by the way, that was also borne out in court documents, some of which they apparently tried to cover up, which is why the case was dismissed. They were withholding exculpatory evidence. They can't ever say it again. They can never say it again. They can't say it again. That this projection onto us of what they are doing is not true. It is absolutely true. That's what they do every time. They project onto Christian patriots how they are acting themselves or going to act. And we're seeing it. They said they were going to burn cities to the ground. The Bernie Sanders campaign workers caught on video saying that. You had one of the leaders of Black Lives Matter actually was on record as saying that a few years ago. And guess what they're doing? They're burning cities to the ground. And people are trying to say, oh, no, we need to support. Listen, it's really simple. Freedom Road Socialist Organization, Freedom Road Socialist Organization has ties to the communist Chinese and helped create Black Lives Matter, okay? So this is not a, like, one-off. You have to really speculate. This stuff is just out there fact. You can find it yourself. You can find it in the primary source documents, and you can't refute it. And so Christians that are backing Black Lives Matter are backing, follow this, the narrative of the Communist Chinese Party and playing into the destruction of this country. This is unbelievable. That people are missing. What is happening in Europe is now beginning to happen in the United States of America. Look at what's happening in France. Violent leftists hijack healthcare workers' protests and cause chaos. That's coming to us from InfoWars. You can take a look at it. There's video of this stuff. It's not even an issue anymore. It's the question, why is no one reporting on this that is claiming to be objective mainstream media? Or downplaying it worse? Then, it's coming to us from the New American. Black Lives Matter was chanting just 5 years ago. Just remember this, okay? Was chanting 5 years ago, quote, pigs in a blanket fry like bacon, end quote. Okay? Referring to violence against police officers. And now that's the group everybody's supposed to support? Really? For the Christians that are listening that support Black Lives Matter, you're supporting sin is what you're doing. And you're justifying it and you're rationalizing it because the harder thing is to find the truth and actually follow that because you might be made fun of. You might be attacked for it. Just like Jesus Christ. So, I would say this too, that if you have not seen Tortured for Christ, it's a movie about the life of Richard Wurmbrand and his lovely bride who started Voice of the Martyrs, about what communism thinks about Christians, really thinks about Christians. And we're starting to see this coming out now too. And you're supporting the destruction of the Christian church, the same people, you're supporting the same ideology, and actually some of the same mentors and people that they mentored. That supported what happened to Richard Wurmbrand. Your own words have convicted you. Your own words have convicted you. And for those of us that are Christians out there, we need to hold the line and call the truth out there what it is. Raping, stealing, burning, chanting threats, assaulting people, that is not what Christianity is about. We're not supposed to support this kind of stuff, but we are supposed to stand on the line and say, you're not going to do it here. And that's why the folks in Coeur d'Alene scared the living daylights out of the Marxists . That's why they're so upset about it, because they stood on the line and said, yeah, you're not going to do that today. And guess what? Peace ensued. All right, I'm going to jump back to the international front. World War III, this is the title from InfoWars, but really, we talked about this a year ago. Okay, now here it's back in the news. Kashmir. That little place between China and India, where the Chinese want to build their railroad and their road network down through there to ports in Pakistan to bypass the Straits of Malacca, which could easily be blocked and are a geostrategic weak point for China. Well, yesterday, 5 Chinese soldiers were killed and 11 injured during violent clashes at the China-India border. And actually, I recently got an update on that, and I'm going to look this up here very, very quickly right now. It looks like 20 Indian soldiers are now reported killed in 48 hours, and this is in the Galwan Valley in northeast Kashmir. And this is the strategically important valley we were talking about on Patriot Radio a year ago that the Chinese were really looking at. Addition to that, U.S. and Mexico have announced a 30-day extension to restrictions on travel across the border. And yesterday evening, the North Koreans bombed the Inter-Korean Liaison Office building in Kaesong near the border with South Korea. And there's escalating tensions there. Wow. So China's agitating right now. As we have talked about on this show, General Chi Wattian's secret speech. They have to begin invading other countries for the Communist Party in China to survive. That was what he said in his speech. We're seeing they're trying to keep America tied up with riots and internal strife and division. At the same time that they're doing this now in the Kashmir region in India, this stuff is tied together. Think geostrategically. Stop thinking tactically and think geostrategically. All right. I want to talk about something else that's happening at the national level too. And this is pretty incredible, I think. But this just came across the wire an hour ago on AP News. Democrats controlling the House have slated a vote next week to make the District of Columbia the 51st state, an issue that they say has become far more important in the aftermath of protests for racial justice in both Washington and across the nation. So, Liberty State is now more important than ever because the Senate's not going to let Washington, D.C. into the Union to upset the balance of power unless there's another state that can come into the Union to offset that. And Liberty State is just that movement. Liberty State, if it existed right now, we wouldn't have the problems that Seattle has or any of this other garbage going on. And if you can imagine what freedom would actually look like. So Washington, D.C. wants to become a state. Now, I believe that's unconstitutional. I think you have to have a constitutional amendment for that to occur. But the fact of the matter is they're bringing it up right now, a vote on the 51st state. So they're not averse to it. There's no reason we shouldn't have a 51st state here in Eastern Washington. We're 52nd. So, okay. As long as we're free. As long as we're free. All right. Also on the national front, coming to us from the New American, 1 in 3 voters believes a civil war is coming in the next 5 years. This is a Rasmussen poll. 1/3 of voters believe America is on the edge of another civil war, with more Republicans holding that view than their Democrat counterparts, who apparently aren't reading primary source documents. That last part was mine. The national survey of 1,000 U.S. likely voters asked participants the question, how likely is it that the United States will experience a second civil war sometime in the next 5 years? Very likely, somewhat likely, not very likely, or not at all likely. Republicans reported that civil war is a very real possibility at 40%. By contrast, only 28% of Democrats believe so. Non-affiliated voters nearly matched Republicans with 39%. Now, I want to stop there. That actually is the most important part of this entire thing. The silent majority is rising. We are going to see something like we have never seen before happen this November. Now, don't be fooled. There are some Republicans out there that are running. They aren't real Republicans. Or worse, they're traitor Republicans that have been working with the progressives, the Marxists, for the sake of power. I mean, that's like the worst motivation ever in the world. But it's happening. Where you have local Marxist organizations like the Indivisible Valley Progressives that are working with so-called Republicans. So find out which candidates are tied to these so-called Republicans. The Republicans so-called of Spokane County. Find out who's tied to them. Personally, for me, you know, good candidates are hard to come by running for office, and you have to have candidates of integrity. People have asked me questions about all the candidates out there. I can tell you some of the ones I know, like Rob Chase and Bob McCaslin. These are men of integrity. They're willing to fight. They're not going to back down. When the door is closed, they're not going to be different people out of the public spotlight, you know, as far as their views and whether they're you know, really going to vote one way or not. They're going to be consistent the entire time. And that's the kind of people we need in office right now, especially with what I just read about 33% of Americans believing that. It's pretty incredible. Also on the national front, Antifa is communist insurgency. That's a Center for Security Policy article. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And some people clicked on the link and they said that some crazy stuff came up, like jumbled words and stuff. It's not happening when I look at it and do it. So, but check that article out either way. On the local front over the weekend, we had a fantastic Liberate America rally over in Kootenai County. It was so awesome because it was cold, it was driving rain, and there was 1,000 patriots that showed up there and were walking around and stayed there, even though it was not the most ideal conditions. There was character building weather, as a sergeant of mine used to say. That's important to understand because, again, that gets back to that silent majority that is rising now in America. There is a silent majority rising in America. A silent majority that loves this country. A silent majority that is willing to put their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honors on the line to defend this country. A silent majority is not going to listen to the mainstream media. And by the way, if you're a Christian watching the mainstream news, just stop watching it, because then you come out with these questions all the time. Is that really true? And then you research, and of course you find it's not true. The way they're spinning it, stop watching it. Even for the sports scores, you can get those in a paper or online. In fact, the matter is, mainstream media knows they're dying with the baby boom generation. So let's quicken that pace so that their prevaricating, cowardly publications go into the dustbin of history. And that we reclaim freedom and liberty for this next generation. Because that's what this is really about. And going back to where I started, we exist to fulfill God's purpose in this time. His power and authority that he's given us is for his purpose, not our prosperity, in his time. But do we actually realize what time it is? And is our walk with God reflecting that? We need people of courage standing up everywhere. Doesn't matter if it's in your church or your business or your organization. We need people of courage standing up everywhere. It's going to take all of us. All of us. To preserve freedom and liberty for the next generation. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you so much to everybody that's been praying for us in this transition we're going through right now. It's just been overwhelming and fantastic. Just thank you, everybody, for doing that. Also, if you get the chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family, and make sure you catch us on iTunes and Podbean if you miss the show. You can listen to it anytime, anywhere. All right. My guest today is Dennis Cuddy. He's the historian, author, and political analyst that used to be a regular guest on Dr. Stan Monteith's program. He received a PhD from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and he has taught at the university level and has been a political and economic risk analyst for an international consulting firm and has been a senior associate with the U.S. Department of Education. Thank you very much for joining us today on Patriot Radio. Dennis, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's craziness happening all over the land right now. And Dr. Stan Monteith, he predicted this years ago. He talked about this and warned about it. It's just amazing that it's happening before our eyes, and quite a bit faster, at least, than I thought it was going to happen.
Well, yeah, I was a guest every Friday night, and we would share information and research, and he seemed to show up at the right place at the right time to get some rather important and rare documents throughout his life. And we would get in a position of sort of looking forward to see what was going to happen. And so what you just said about faster than you thought, that's one of the things that H.G. Wells, the famous writer, author, wrote about. He said toward the end, this process would speed up. And it goes back hundreds of years, and I'm able to find ancient text and letters and so forth. It's like piecing together a puzzle to find out what's been happening and why and who did it and what's going to happen next.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that history. I mean, this has been, this isn't like, you know, all of a sudden new to our time. There's been a thread that has been running throughout history that we're now seeing the modern iteration of. And if you could talk a little bit about some of the more impactful things that you have found in your research that most listeners probably don't even know about.
Okay. Most of my articles on this subject are on the website News With Views. There's some recent ones, but most of them are between, I guess, 2004 and 2016. And I keep referring to the people in general that I call the power elite, which is a characterization that covers many groups and many centuries. And we could go way back, but I have, for example, a 9-part series on the Illuminati. And as soon as you say that, people say, oh, you know, this is some kind of conspiracy nonsense and so on. But what I do is this different. I use documents to show who did what when and their assignments. And it gets into all fields. It gets into education, which, as you mentioned, I was a senior associate with the U.S. Department of Education. And I wrote the first draft of President Reagan's published essay on education reform and used to do some other things up there. So I've been interested in education, but I also have a better prediction rate than the CIA and FBI on terrorist activities. And I, when I was in Washington, I was surveilled both at home and in my office. So I have an interest in the long pattern of events and who did it and what and why. And so it's not only in education, but in morality, every single facet of life, the power elite tries to control and manipulate, whether it's dance, art, music, it doesn't matter, politics, religion, it doesn't matter. And so some of the things that I have been able to find are key. I mean, anybody can say anything, but I try to find important people like Woodrow Wilson, the president, and who was behind him, who was managing him, who was telling him what to do and not do, and a speech that he gave when he was at Carnegie Hall in 1912 running for the presidency, where he said, many people in manufacturing, the leaders in commerce, are afraid of somebody. They're afraid of something. They know that there's somewhere a power so complete, so pervasive, so interlocked, so watchful, that you better not speak above your breath when you speak in condemnation of it. So anybody could say that, but when a president says that, people might pay attention. Similarly, the key advisor to Woodrow Wilson was Colonel Edward Mandel House. And I also have a letter signed by Franklin Roosevelt in Warm Springs, where he used to go, you know, for his health. And it's November 21 of 1933. He'd just been in office as president for a year. And he's just had a talk with Jack Morgan, that's J.P. Morgan, Jr. And he says, to Colonel House, he says, the real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in our larger centers has owned, not just influenced, but owned our government ever since the time of Andrew Jackson. And I will look at David Rockefeller, one of the more prominent people. And he's died about a couple of years ago. But and this is important because it shows how you can't rely on the press. People get most of their information from the news media, ABC, CBS, New York Times, Washington Post, and so on. But in many, many cases, they're the ones that keep the important information away from you. So David Rockefeller in 2002 came out with his book called Memoirs. And there was a long review in the New York Times about that book, and nowhere in there did they mention what I'm going to tell you. A chapter called Proud Internationalist begins on page 404. The very next page, he says, some people believe me and my family are part of a secret cabal conspiring against the best interest of the United States in order to form a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. And then he says, if that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. Now, everybody I tell that to or told that to says, yes, that's very important. It's newsworthy. But the New York Times did not want the public to know this. And they've done many things. There was a big controversy in the 1950s, for example, about communism. the Soviets were gaining influence. They were going to come out with Sputnik, the Communist Chinese Revolution that occurred in 1949. There was a space race. And there was a senator named Joseph McCarthy. And McCarthy had his problems, but the point is, McCarthy was very concerned about all the communists in the government. And so everybody would just sort of put him down. Oh, he's some kind of nut. He's a drunk. Don't pay attention to him. And any time anybody else would say, you know, there's communists in the government, people would charge that person with, oh, you're a McCarthyite. You're McCarthyism. That's nonsense. Don't listen to that person. Well, come to find out, years later, in the 1980s, around 1987, Woodward and Bernstein, they're the two Washington Post reporters that found out about Nixon and Watergate. Carl Bernstein wrote a book called Loyalties, A Son's Memoirs. And what it was an interview with his mother and father, who were members of the Communist Party living in Washington. And in there, and I put this in my writings, I often do chronologies, so date by date, quote by quote. In there, Carl Bernstein is writing and talking about his father and to his father. And the father says, Carl, I'm worried about this book that you're writing because you're saying that McCarthy was right. And then the father says, McCarthy was right. I was there. We were in the government all over the place. And then once again, if you look to the New York Times to find out, you know, what's really going on in that period of the 50s, if somebody were to say, oh, the New York Times slant stuff, so it favors the communists. Again, you'd be trying, oh, you're a McCarthyite, don't listen to him, you're stupid, you're an idiot, and so on. Well, come to find out, a few years later, around 1967, the foreign editor of the New York Times, between 1951 and 60, he had retired, and in 1967, he wrote a book called All the News That Fits. And it was about, you know, the New York Times. And in there, he says, yeah, that's right, we really did slant stuff toward the communists. So there's a lot of things that people just don't know about because the press and media are keeping them in the dark about it. For example, this recent crisis with COVID-19, I have tried really, really hard. I sent an email to a bunch of ABC people, George Stephanopoulos, David Muir, some others, back on March the 2nd. They will not print this stuff. They will not expose it. They want to keep the people in the dark for some reason, including in Seattle. A friend of mine, when I was in Washington, uncovered something about the Seattle public schools. It was very, very hard to get, you know, I had an article in the Seattle Times, not on this, but on other subjects. I had articles in the Anchorage News all over the country about education. But it's very, very hard to get things, important material, into the press or media so the public can be informed.
Let's talk about something you uncovered with the Seattle Public Schools back in 1985.
Right.
And in regards to global education. So, okay, now this is, let me preface this. For everybody listening out there, this has been planned and has been going on for a very long time.
Right.
Okay, 1985, what did you discover?
Well, actually, I wasn't the original discoverer. There were a group of us to sort of work together. For example, at the first, when I was up there in the Reagan administration, Terrell Bell was the Secretary of Education from 1981 to 85. And this friend found a letter that had been written by Leland Birmingham, the superintendent of schools in Utah, to Terrell Bell, who is from Utah, and it outlined a plan to get outcome-based education, which was the hot-button issue just before Common Core, into all the schools. So that same individual had uncovered this and gave it to me. And it's the Seattle Public Schools Memorandum. And at that time, a real hot-button issue was global education. And so on April 19th, 1985, this memorandum was sent to a fellow named Jim Hawkins, and it was from a Jim Grob, who was with the Rockefeller Project. I mean, that was the name of the project. And it was regarding the use of the term global education. And there's a background, the issue, and the recommendation. They always give that sort of stuff. And they send copies to important people. And the background was that there was this a phrase, new global world history project. And the meeting of the needs of global society, a curriculum emphasizing global, global, global. So the issue was global education, which is what they were all using, the leading educators. And the issue, the fellow who's writing this says, this term, global education, is an extreme political hot potato at this time. The right-wing Christian groups, they're always worried about right-wing Christian groups, who defeated Senator George Fleming's bill to support international education programs, use global education as a synonym for atheistic, in this capital letters, atheistic, communistic humanism out to destroy God, the family, and American society. They are currently winning. They're very disturbed about that. These Christians are currently winning a fight with the Bainbridge Island School Board over their involvement in the area of Global Reach Program. And then the recommendation is they always do this. Once you find out about something they're doing, they don't really change. They just change the name. So it says district personnel must show immediate sensitivity to this semantic but painfully real fact. Big capital letters again. If we talk about this project as a global education project, it is likely to become a source of intense and long-term opposition from an extremely vocal minority. And so it says, what do we recommend? The temporarily safe term is multicultural international curriculum development. So they're going to switch from global education to this other term. That's how they're going to try to fool the public.
It's interesting. They didn't deny the accusations.
No,
they just changed the name. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I try to do. I track things. I track people and who did what, when, and at least this, that, and the other. So, for example, in that nine-part series about the Illuminati, and I'm not going to keep talking about that, but the point is, members of the Illuminati had specific tasks. Some would be assigned to be tutors to princes like Alexander I of Russia, so that later when they became the czar or king or whatever, they'd have control of them. So in education, the person that we were most enamored by was a man named Pestalozzi. He was a Swiss Illuminist, and his code name was Alfred. They all have these code names. The founder of Illuminati was Adam Weishaupt, and his code name was Spartacus, you know, back in Rome and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, the track on that was that Pestalozzi's book started being used here in 1806, and it was picked up by Horace Mann. He became a devotee of him, and Horace Mann is known as the father of public education, and a grandson of a member of the Illuminati, his last name was Wundt, his code name was Raphael. His grandson was Wilhelm Wundt, who set up the first psychological school in Leipzig. And his first PhD was G. Stanley Hall, who then returned back to Johns Hopkins and mentored John Dewey, who became he's known as the father of progressive education. And an example of how this fits with this sort of atheistic, communistic thing is Dewey was a member of the Intercollegiate Socialist Society. And in the 1920s, he really loved the communists. And he went over there to the Soviet Union, and he came back and wrote an article in the magazine called The New Republic. It was December 5, 1928, and he said, the Bolsheviks are wonderful. They're undermining the church. They're undermining the family. He thought this was great. And so a few years later, since he's back here, the NEA, National Education Association, he said, he's our kind of guy. We're going to make him honorary president. And it goes on from there. So this is one avenue of how communism, atheism enters the schools. So Dewey was a member of the signer of the first Humanist Manifesto, and then there was a second one in 1973, and there was a third one somewhat later. But they always insinuate themselves and gain control. Now, Dewey gained control of the public schools by switching from the University of Chicago to Columbia University Teachers College. So by the early 1950s, they had control. They were producing a majority of the principals and superintendents for the 160 leading or largest school system in the country. So by the early 1960s, they were down to controlling the classroom level. And if you were to get an educational doctorate or whatever, you had to follow the teachings of these people. If you ask a teacher today, what do you think about John Dewey? They'll still think, oh, he's a great guy, progressive education, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But this is how they sneak themselves into all kinds of things, mainly into the culture. Antonio Gramsci was a communist theoretician about 100 years ago, and he said, the people don't like all these bloody revolutions, so we're going to take over the culture. And that's pretty much what they've done, whether, like I said, whether it's art, dance, music, television, radio, you know, whatever it is, they do that, and they do that in a very, very sneaky way. For example, Edward Bernays, he was in psychological warfare for us in the First World War, and he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And by the 1920s, he had become known as the father of public opinion. In 1928, William Paley was beginning CBS. In that same year, Bernays writes this book called Propaganda. And in there, he says, we have the psychological means to be able to manipulate you without you even knowing about it. And he was absolutely right. For example, a few years later, cigarette Lucky Strike, which had a white pack and a red bullseye, was going to come out with menthol, with a green bullseye on the white pack. So they hired Bernays. Bernays went out and paid the Garment District of New York to make red and green the fashions for the next year, and it went over, you know, great. And they entice people, like women. Women, you knew 100 years ago, women would not be smoking cigarettes. They wouldn't be. But they said, we have to get this huge population of women to start smoking. So they would get slogans like, Liberty Sticks. You are for liberty, aren't you, women? Yes, I'm for liberty. Well, try these things.
Right.
And it would you know, go over very, very well for them.
Well, and this is why I think it's so insidious, because it's every area of our society that we're seeing this kind of come into. And so I want to bring it back to what's happening in downtown Seattle right now with, you know, they're trying to rebrand because the autonomous zone thing didn't go over very well with the SoundCloud rapper Warlord that was reported on by several news outlets.
Okay.
Where is this headed? And, you know, is this really going to speed up right now? I had a friend of mine say a long time ago that eventually they're just going to have to run naked to the finish line. And that's kind of what we're starting to see right now, I think.
And what they do is they condition the public in advance. So if they have to do something violent, you know, against you personally, knock down your door and that sort of stuff, they'll do it. But they'd rather not. So what they try to do is create situations in which you actually want them to do something. It's sort of like Orwell's book, 1984. It's full of a lot of interesting things, but just an example. The Big Brother's agent in that book is named O'Brien, and the hero is Winston. And Winston's being tortured by O'Brien to try to get him to to accept Big Brother. He said, we will never bow to Big Brother. Of course, at the end of the book, he's waving a flag, running down the street, saying hooray for Big Brother. So O'Brien tells him, he says, look, we're going to do a couple of things. Number one, what if we quicken the tempo of human life? And he said, secondly, you're going to come to love Big Brother. You will love, you hate him. You actually accept and love Big Brother. And so, for example, they don't come up to the people of Spokane or Seattle or whatever and say, you got to love Big Brother. They don't do that. They're very clever. They're very sneaky. So try this. If you go to Seattle or Spokane or any place in Washington, and you go to a shopping mall or something like that, and you see a group of young people, let's say millennials, and you walk up to them and say, what would you say if I took away your cell phone, your computer, and your credit card? They say, oh, don't do that. I love my cell phone, my computer,
wailing,
and my credit
wailing
card.
And gnashing of teeth, yes.
Yeah, and those are the implements that Big Brother uses, you know, to know what you're buying, to know what news you're looking at, to know what you think about each other and so forth. And another thing, the cell phone. Oh, the cell phone is wonderful. Oh, man, it's so convenient. I love my cell phone. Well, what you have to understand there is the cell phone doesn't just call somebody from where I am on the East Coast to Seattle or Spokane or, you know, whatever. It goes up to a satellite and then beams down again. Okay, so it doesn't just, you know, happen. These things are owned by, it's called Iridium, Iridium as a system. And that's 12 of these relay stations around the world. And one of them in the Far East, now remember, all calls from you to them, from them to you in the Far East, are owned by the Great Wall Corporation of China. Now, if you can't trust the Chinese to observe your privacy, who can you trust? And then I remember when Osama bin Laden was, you know, giving us a hard time and all that. I remember the head of the National Security Agency, Mike Hayden at the time, said Osama bin Laden has better communications capabilities than we do. And at first I think, you got to be kidding. You mean the guy running around the cave over there with his dialysis machine? I said, that's ridiculous. Now I thought about it. Wait a minute. Who controls the satellite system relay in the Middle East? And it's the Saudi bin Laden family. Every communication that goes through the Middle East, Osama bin Laden's family controlled it. Could listen in. That's how he happened. He didn't have. That's how he could, you know, find out anything he wanted to. He had better community. So people they don't understand the amount of control and monitoring that goes on. Like I said, when I was in Washington, they were monitoring me. I was sitting in my desk in the office, and I thought something funny was going on with the phones. So when when the other person hung up, I stayed on the line 1, 2, 3 minutes, and I said, this is dumb. I'm listening to dead air. But after about 4 minutes, two voices came on the line talking about me in the call. Now, if you're going to really surveil somebody, you have to get them at home, too, not just the office. So what they did at home was they gave me, and this could have been what happened to Donald Trump when he said his campaign was surveilled. It boggles my mind how people, including the media, think that if you're going to do something illegal, you will go through the proper channels and get a FISA warrant so that you can be caught. You're not going to do that. Why would you want to be caught? So what they did with me, anyway, is they gave me the same home phone number as Richard Nixon's private secretary, Rosemary Woods, so they could, quote, accidentally pick up my calls. So, you know, they have very, very, very sneaky ways of doing things and monitoring you and so on. So the what they do is they'll give a situation where the public loves freedom, right? Americans, we love freedom. We want our freedom. We fight and die for freedom. Okay, so it's September 11th, 2001. The attack is going to occur, which could have easily been prevented. I mean, I try to get this in the papers, too. It's easy. A 5-year-old child could have prevented those attacks. So what they do is, just before the attack, that morning, all the American people, freedom, freedom, freedom. Okay, so then the attack occurs. Immediately, ABC, Washington Post, like by noon, they had a poll out, and the results of the poll showing 2/3 of the public would be willing to give away some of our freedoms for security. So that's how they do it. They give a situation in which they don't have to knock your door down. You're actually crying to them, oh, yes, please, examine Granny's, you know, sneakers at the Seattle airport so we know she's not a terrorist. Same thing with this COVID thing. This COVID thing is not the final one. This is a step in that direction so that next time you'll say, oh, yes, please, I'll stay inside. I won't even peek out. You know, I don't want to spread it. They create situations where you actually want something or are totally willing to go along with it. They don't have to use, you know, harsh tactics. You will be totally prepared and accept whatever they have.
And that's what's going on right now. We have only a minute left. If you could, in the last minute we have left, Dennis, if you could tell the listeners where they can find out more information, read more about you, and get themselves educated on this long history of this great thread running to destroy America.
News with views. .com is the best place. You can just put my name on in Google and I'll pop up all over the place. But have you already told them about Bill Gates and his 2015 TED Talk?
Yeah, we've talked about that briefly, and we're going to continue to talk about this because it has. It's been planned for a really long time.
Well, it was the same time as The Scientist. That's a publication, lab-made coronavirus triggers debate, and it comes out of research at UNC Chapel Hill, where I was, and they're examining and engineering a particular virus that can get into human airwaves and be leaked. That's the summary within 1 minute, but there's a lot more to it that I have that I can email you.
Absolutely. And again, so online, if you could plug that one more time, where can they find your articles?
News, N-E-W-S, with, W-I-T-H, views, V is Victor, I-E-W-S, .com. That has the most on all kinds of subjects.
Dennis Cuddy, thank you very much. Historian, author, and political analyst for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Blessings to you. Keep up the fight, sir.
You too. Thank you.
All right. And again, News with Views. You can read his articles there as well. And it's fascinating what's happening right now, that all of the things that we're warned about, all of the things that we're taught about for years and years and years, all that stuff, the predictions, it's all happening right before our eyes. And still, people are saying, this can't be possible. That's just not possible. Follow the facts, follow the primary source documents, follow the scripture. And truth will set you, set me, set us all free. We have to be willing to embrace it, even if it goes against some sort of an emotional reaction from deep inside of us. And the fact of the matter is, right now, we're fighting for the heart and soul of men and women in this country as Christians, and the heart and soul of our country as patriots. And it's going to take all of us standing on the line saying, nope, not in our lifetime. No, Marxists, you have failed everywhere you've gone. You've brought nothing but misery and heartache and destruction and theft, religious oppression everywhere you've gone. You're not going to have a foothold here in America. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me today on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.